Today on Real Radio.
He said that 2,000 years ago. That's 2,000 years closer than the day he said it. Any day now.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his timely series that addresses Bible prophecy. We've already seen what Scripture says about the instability in the Middle East. Now, one fact is that very little has changed for many thousands of years. Wars and conflicts have occurred in the region since the days of old. And here we are in the 21st century, and Israel and the followers of her Messiah are despised all over the world. So much so that Judeo-Christian faith and God's written word are under attack like never before. I'm sure you'd agree. But Jesus said to the Father, "Your word is truth." And it seems that the more attacks Scripture endures, the more it proves itself to be true. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs demonstrates in a lesson called The 21st Century Christian.
The 21st Century Christian is to know God's word better than ever because theology is our strength. And let me explain what I mean by that, by theology. The true knowledge of God, really knowing him, really studying him, really finding out what makes him move and what makes him act and what makes him think and what his heart is. You say, "Jack, really? God, really? We can know him?" Look, if we can't know him, let's just go to the beach. It's gonna be a nice day. Let's just shut this down. No, you can know him. Jesus said in John 17, 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven. He's going to pray. And he says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." Verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may," what? "Know you, the only true God," and the word implies, "know Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." The Bible says, "Be still and know that he is God." The word yada in Hebrew, it means to discover him. God wants to be known by you. Isn't that awesome? Ephesians 1:17, Paul's great prayer for the Ephesians. He says this. This is Paul's prayer. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the" what? "Knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Notice all these illuminations. "That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." The old Westminster Shorter Catechism says, asking a question, "What is the chief end of man?" And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God is knowable. To glorify God and to enjoy him. That statement has a presupposition that God is knowable. That is true theology. Do you know God? Bible prophecy takes place around us. Jesus said, "These things I've told you in advance, that when they happen, you will know that I am he." Isn't that awesome? Someone say amen. That's exciting. That is absolutely wonderful. How knowable is our God? Now, I don't know if you're going to really get turned on about this next verse, but it is amazing. Because no other religion on the planet even suggests that their God or gods can hang out with them. Is that the wrong term? I had somebody write me before. Don't use the word hang out. Okay, that there's no other religion or religions who have a God or gods that hang out with them, that just dwell with them, that just, he is to come, he's him. So listen to this. You say, "What are you talking about?" This is what I'm talking about. And never forget this. How big is your God? How big is the God of the Bible? This big. Watch, Genesis 3:8. "And they heard the sound of the Lord," Adam and Eve, "heard the sound of the Lord walking," hello, "in the garden in the cool of the day." Cool of the day, that means like 75 degrees, like Maui. "And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the" what? presence of the Lord God and among the trees of the garden. Verse 9 says, then the Lord God called to Adam and Eve, or Adam, and said to him, where are you? Hey, now God knew where he was. He's trying to get him to confess. I'm over here naked because I sinned, hiding behind the bush. You got me. I'm busted. I'm sorry. God would have forgiven him. Did you know that? The knucklehead lies. Oh, my wife messed up my life. But did you get that? Don't miss it, because listen. The God of the Bible walked among Adam and Eve in the garden. How big is your God? Listen, he appears numerous times in Scripture. He shows up. He shows up to Joshua. He shows up to Abraham. Isn't that amazing? See, there's other, the gods of the other religions, they can't do that, because if they get too close to man, they get contaminated. When your God is God, he can't get contaminated. Oh, I like this stuff. I am feeling good right now. Second point today is that we are expected to recognize current events. That's a fact. Christians, listen. The 21st century believer is expected by God to recognize current events. Why? Answer this. Is the Bible relevant? Yes. Is it current?
Yes.
Yeah. So shouldn't you be? Shouldn't we be? Look, right now your neighbors, I have neighbors too. You have neighbors. They're not happy with what's going on. You know how you know? They're avoiding the issue. I really want to give this second point to you in the sense of using it as a witnessing tool, assuming that we all recognize current events that are taking place around us. It's pretty awesome. Relevance, jot it down. Relevance, we are in touch with God. I really want to be relevant. Then get in touch with God. Know his word. It's no stretch to say that Christians today should be the most effective and yet controversial promoter of what's going on around the world, current events. We know, you guys, we know what's going on. Isn't it amazing? You guys, right now in the news headlines around the world, I guarantee you, no news headline is telling us what's the latest thing in Peru. Did you think of that? The world is on edge right now at this hour. Why? Well, it's not because Bolivia's having a new parade. Why? What's going on? The world is unanimously concerned about what's happening in Syria. You want to know why? Syria is Bible land. Do you ever think of that? Damascus was a Christian city. It's one of the oldest Christian cities in the history of the world. Did you know that? Syria is Bible land. We always think of Israel. Israel's the heart of the Bible land. But Iraq is Bible land. Persia is Bible land. Lebanon is Bible land. Egypt is Bible land. Jordan is Bible land. And Syria is Bible land. So what's going on? What's happening? The Bible has equipped us at a time like this, church. This is an amazing moment. We are truly relevant because we have the answer. It's pretty amazing. I'm coming to that. It's going to come. You read my notes, maybe. It's happening. It's happening. Any day now, you know. But listen, we are to be relevant. Why so? How so? 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That means know everything you can about God and about his word, church. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That whole verse presupposes that the world's going nuts. They're panicking. And you're like this. Look at me. The world's going, what's going to happen? And you're like this. Hey, how you guys doing? Well, don't you know what's happening? Yeah, I know what's happening. You mean you're talking about Syria, chemical weapons? There's talk about a tactical nuclear device going to be used there, low-scale nuclear bomb possibly being used by somebody. Yeah, I know what's going on. 260,000 people wounded, 2.6 million people displaced, Syrians, and 110,000 Syrian citizens dead in the last 22 months. Yeah, I know what's going on. Yeah, Assad, it's the war between the Sunnis and the Shiites of Islam. They're killing each other just as they said they would do. Yeah, I know what's going on. Oh, America getting involved in that mess between brothers? Not a good idea. No one walks up and grabs a dog by the ears, says the Bible. Don't do that. You get bit in the face. Don't we have a moral right to get involved? This has nothing to do with that. Christians are dying. There's no doubt about it. And they're going straight to heaven. It's called persecution. It's going to happen. Not that we should ignore it. This is different. We're talking Bible lands. Mr. Obama, you don't go into Bible lands thinking that you're going to make a name for yourself. You are tampering with the God of the Bible. This is eternal stuff. This is Bible stuff. You pick a fight in that region of the world and you could unleash the Third World War in a minute. Not to mention what Britain is concerned about, which they stepped away from the looming attack, possible attack, because they were warned internally that if Britain was in the coalition to attack Syria, that the native Muslims of their country would come against the English government. We've received the same warnings, ladies and gentlemen, and we're not listening to them. Internal Islamic unrest from coast to coast. If we attack Syria, no one's listening. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Why? Bible lands. God is moving. God is at work. Something's going to happen. And we're going to talk about that if I hurry up. Vigilance. We are to be in touch with the world, not of the world, but in touch with the world as to what's going on. Biblical Christianity answers. The Bible answers. Listen, Bible prophecy. Did you know this? Bible. It's through Bible prophecy that the Christian has the answer for the immigration issue. We have the issue regarding war, child abuse, equal rights, racism, economics, law and order, government, its creation and its implementation, justice, welfare, even Obamacare. The Bible answers every issue of life. There's an answer to all these things. The Bible. How does it know this? God wrote it in advance, anticipating every situation, every event of life. God knows. And I hope you have that boldness. And what about these current events? Keep your eye. Be watching. As I mentioned a moment ago regarding Syria, this from the news, Syrian President Bashar Assad has said that if Syria is attacked, then what's the logic of this? If the United States or any other nation attacks Syria, that he would order, he's already given the order, by the way, it's if we get attacked, this is what I want. I want Hezbollah to strike Tel Aviv, Israel with chemical weapons. Isn't that funny? If America attacks us, we're going to destroy Israel. If China attacks us, we're going to destroy Israel. If Canada attacks us, we're going to destroy Israel. Where does he get that from? He gets that from Islamic doctrine. Okay? Now, in response to his statement, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said, "We will answer Damascus." You know, you got to watch out when Jews talk like that. You know, we'll go. We're going to nuke you. We're going to do this, and we're funny. We're funny. America goes, "We're going to do it at 2:15 on Tuesday." Did you know we do that? We actually tell people when we're coming. When Netanyahu says, by the way, his name means God's gift or gift from God. When Netanyahu says, "We will answer Damascus," the whole world goes, "What does that mean?" And he goes, "That's exactly the response I wanted you to have. We will answer." "What does answer mean?" "We will answer." "But what does that mean?" "Just wait and you'll see how we answer." "We will send airmail to you." The Bible says, listen, why? The Bible says, here's current events. We're kind of bringing this together in vigilance. Christian, be on the guard, be watching. Know what's recognized and recognize what's going on in the world. Know about it. Isaiah 17:1 says, an oracle, that is Masah in Hebrew, it means prophecy. A prophecy, an oracle concerning Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease to be a city and will become a heap of ruins. That's never happened before, ladies and gentlemen. Isaiah 17:1. Could we see it happen? Maybe. We don't know. But I got to tell you this. We've never been this close to the fulfillment of that prophecy than today. I don't know if that verse is going to be fulfilled this week or this month or this year. I don't know. But you got to sit up and recognize and take notice. We're talking about Damascus, Syria, 21st century. Isaiah wrote this nearly 3,000 years ago. It's never happened before. Damascus is filled with people. Can someone say wow? Wow. I mean, that's a wow thing. That's why you don't go over there just, "Oh, let's go. I've got to defend my name and my words. Let's go." Wait a minute, you're messing with Bible land. Have you prayed about it? Right? The next thing is, listen, preparedness. The 21st century Christian is to recognize current events so that we are prepared. We need to be prepared. And we need to do that. How do we do that? Well, first of all, nurturing a heart of expectancy. Jesus said in Matthew 24:44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you don't expect him. We need to be ready. In Hebrews 10, listen, this is serious stuff. In Hebrews 10:24-25, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Verse 25, this is happening tragically in the negative too much. And let us not neglect our gathering together. You know, I'm telling you, you know what this means? I don't need to get together with other Christians. Don't neglect, don't push it off, don't ignore it. Don't let it gather weeds. I don't need to go to church. You don't need to go to church to be saved. That's true. But you need to go to church if you're going to be connected with what God's doing and with what God wants to do. And you'll never grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus unless you fellowship. Listen, isn't it amazing? The church is actually resilient to technology. The church uses technology. But this silly thing called preaching, evangelism, fellowship, these things are eternal. They never go away. And when you come together as a church, when some people say they're going to just sit out church for a while, that is a slippery slope greased by Satan's butter. I just made that up. Does that make sense? Okay. I mean, he's just greasing it. And you're like, whoa, until you get equilibrium with the fall. It's like, it's okay. I haven't been to church in a year. I feel good. You're dying. You're dying. Watch out. You're dying. You're not prepared. You're not ready. Well, how do you know? Because listen, are you doing good works and are you exhorting others to continue on in the faith? Every Christian, well, I'm not involved in the ministry. You should be. You're a Christian, aren't you? Yes. Then you know someone in your life who's a Christian, don't you? Yeah. You and I are to provoke them to continue on with Jesus. That's enough conviction for today alone right there. And then third and finally, we're going to end right here out of time, is that in the 21st century Christian is expected to discern false from the true. The false from the true. Biblical doctrine, we're to know it because there's no other way for you to expose false prophets, false prophecies, false teachers than knowing the Bible. You can never identify the false unless you know the true. Three ways quickly. Immerse yourself in the Bible. I wish I could start a campaign, like, you know, just put a little tracking device on your Bible and you. Press a button and you get shocked, you get electrocuted, and your Bible opens up. And you have to read it. Immerse. Okay? Am I spending more time watching what? I don't know. Listening to what? I don't know. Than Bible. I'm going to ask you guys, let's take this on for like a month. Let's start to divorce ourselves from the things that distract. A lot of noise out there. A lot of distractions. What if we took a month to say, I'm going to read the Bible more than I ever have in my life? Oh my goodness, watch what happens. Heart rate's going to go down. Blood pressure's going to go down. Your joy is going to increase. Isn't it funny? Well, if I just eat yogurt and water, I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose where I need to, and I'm going to gain where I need to, and I'm going to feel better. And look at the stuff we do. We look at people. What's wrong with you? What? Don't I look great? You look like you're starving yourself to death, man. Eat something. Oh, I'm on this thing. What if we had that kind of tenacity? Hey, did you see what happened on, man, I'm trying to think of a program. What's a program? I just thought of Days of Our Lives. Is that still a program? Did you see what happened on Breaking Bad? I have no idea what that is. She does, Breaking Bad. Okay, did you see the latest episode on Breaking Bad? And there's something. Oh, okay, well, the next question we have to be able to say, and listen, what's God telling you in your life? Huh? You see what I'm saying? Listen, we need to change that. Let's just do like a month. Let's just do like a month and see what happens. So what? Did you hear what happened on Breaking Bad or the rams and the goats playing each other? What? Say, I don't know. I don't know, but God has been showing me. Oh, mama, that's awesome. Think of that. That's cool. That'd be great. Immerse yourself in the Bible. Listen, expect to be resisted. You're going to be resisted. Expect it. Cheer up. It's going to be native. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, do not be ignorant of prophetic things. You're going to have a knowledge of what's going on. Listen, you guys, you can tell people in your neighborhood. They want to hear something, really. They won't volunteer for it. But when you say, hey, I just got to tell you something, man. Did you know the Bible? Did you see what's going on in the news? The first thing, when you start sharing with them current events from the Bible, they're going to resist you. They might say, you know, you're nuts. Get off my porch. You know what? Hey, let me tell you, if somebody attacks Syria, they're going to come knock on your door. This is, church, listen, we're done. We're done. Watch, you can do this. Will Syria or Damascus be destroyed? Yes, we don't know when, but we could say, hey, neighbor, I know you don't hear this. I know we're Christians, and I know what you think about us, but look at this. Isaiah 17:1 says Damascus will be destroyed and it will never again be inhabited. Watch. Have you turned the news on lately, dude? Turn it on, see, and check it out. Have a nice day. You just planted a ginormous seed of evangelism. Church, you can all do this today. Go to your neighbor's house today before something happens. Your credibility will go through the roof. Your neighbor's going to say, how'd you know that? How did you know that? Well, that's not all I know. Jesus died for you. And for, they'll go, well, what else does the Bible say? It's amazing. But expect resistance. And then we end with this. Give yourself fully to Jesus. My friend, give yourself fully to Jesus like never before. Big time now. Give yourself to Jesus. Now listen, you may be a full-blown Christian here today and you're thinking, I gave myself to Jesus, you know, back 20 years ago. Have you given yourself to Jesus today? Listen, you were born again once. But can I put it this way? We are to be devoted daily. Yes, Lord. You have every day, yes, Lord. So Christian, listen, just Christian right now. James says in James 5:8, you also be patient. Oh, we need to hear that right now, huh? Patient. Your hearts, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The verse, James is saying, watch the scene. Be patient. God always keeps his promises. Establish your hearts. The word implies that you're in a rough time, difficult time. Establish your heart. Have big roots. Anchor deep in your heart. The word of God does that. God's promises. Why? Because the day of the Lord's coming, man. That's what James says. He said that 2,000 years ago. Hello, that's 2,000 years closer than the day he said it. Any day now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that describes the issues faced by the 21st century Christian. The 21st Century Christian, that's the title of what we heard today. It's part of Pastor Jack's timely series that addresses Bible prophecy and what we as believers can expect in today's world. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Monday, and that means that tonight and every Monday night, you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, if you haven't seen it yet, you're in for a treat. Real Life with Jack Hibbs deals with hard-hitting, real-world issues that affect the believer in today's world. Some of Pastor Jack's recent guests have been Dr. David Hawking, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Kurt Bruner, Jacob Prash. Now, that's just to name a few. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night at 7 o'clock Pacific Time on hischannel.com. Now, if you'd like to see some of the recent interviews, just click on the video on demand right there at the top of the page. And then, of course, join us for tonight's broadcast of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, 7 o'clock West Coast Time on hischannel.com. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, if you'd like to talk to us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.